morning.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the court and counsel, my name is Steve Davidson. I'm here on behalf of Plains Radiology Services, Inc. Paragraph 2B is what this appeal is about, and it's the key, and it's what the district court missed. Contractors shall provide radiology services pursuant to the schedule. That's the language at issue. It's the sentence that allocates the exclusive right to furnish radiology services at the Kearney Imaging Center among the two groups by week. It's the sentence that provides the promise in return for the non-compete, which is really the exchange of consideration under this contract, and it's the sentence that was violated when Good Samaritan Hospital diverted those images to the competing group, and it's that breach that warrants damages.
So then the next sentence about the contractor agreeing to the coverage schedule for each successive contract year, talk about that.
I will. So, and you got to look at that one in the context of the sentence that follows that, which keeps the proportional split in place. It basically says you have to provide these services pursuant to the schedule, but the effect of that paragraph is to give the two groups the right to swap weeks in coming years. It doesn't change the division of work because the final sentence says if the two groups can't agree to change the schedule, then the original schedule stays in place. So it was a provision of convenience so that they could, 21 weeks was going to go to Plains, the rest of the year was going to go to GPR, but that gave the two groups the ability to exchange Christmas for Easter, however they wanted to do it. The final sentence is what confirms that the proportional split that was intended by this contract remained in place as the years went by, notwithstanding that flexibility to swap weeks.
And you maintain that this is clear and unambiguous.
Absolutely. Language. You bet. And the test is, as you know, the plain and ordinary meaning of the words. And if you break down the first sentence of that paragraph, to us, the plain and ordinary meaning comes through very clear. The subject of the sentence is radiology services. That's a defined term in the contract. It means both supervision of the scans so that the doctors have to monitor and supervise the techs who are actually, performing the CT scans and MRIs, and interpretation. It's both of those things. It's making the scans happen and then reading them for the results. The action in that sentence is mandatory. Shall provide. It's the word shall. There's no option. It's not an optional word. And it says provide. It's an active word. The contractor shall provide those radiology services. And then the final clause describes the manner and time in which that obligation is required pursuant to the schedule set forth at Exhibit A. You turn to the schedule and it gives you the weeks that are allocated between the two groups. There's nothing optional about that sentence. It doesn't suggest that only availability is required. It says that the contractors are to furnish, are to provide those services according to the schedule. That mandatory character of the schedule, we believe, is consistent when you read the contract as a whole, which is the other kind of big rule of construction that we think makes a difference here. Look at the termination clause, paragraph 15A. It talks about one radiology group taking over the other's share upon termination. Well, unless the whole is divided to begin with, you can't have a share to allocate to the other group at the end of the day. Paragraph 3 talks about making sure the group that is on for that week has sufficient staff ready and available to do the work. What a waste that would be if the only objective of the contract was to sit and wait until the hospital decided whether they're going to send it to one group or the other. That whole section 2 talks about furnishing radiology services, providing radiology services. When you read that clause in connection with the contract as a whole, optional duties are not what comes through from the plain and ordinary meaning of the words. We think it's also, that reading of that sentence is also consistent with the context in which this contract came to be. Remember that the two radiologists who own Planes also owned their share of this imaging center. They paid for it to be created, and two things then happened. The group split into two, and the facility, that ownership, was sold back to the hospital. That's where this contract came to be. To interpret it, to enforce that same proportionality of ownership that existed when the facility was originally built, and to interpret the exclusivity and scheduling requirements to see that through in a consistent way makes sense. The non-compete, to me, is another element of this contract that is critically important to the right interpretation of the words. This is a 5-year contract. It's a long time. Neither the groups or the physicians individually could, and I quote here, own, manage, or operate a competing facility in Buffalo County. That's a significant sacrifice of potential revenue to these radiologists. And what sense would it make for a contract to prohibit that conduct in exchange for only the possibility that you might get some of the work if the hospital decides in its discretion to send it to you? If the district court is right, the contract is optional on one side, and that's where this mutuality argument comes into play. But it's not just this lack of mutuality, it's the fact that it just doesn't make sense. To say, we'll give you 2/5 of the scans at this center, and in exchange for that, don't compete with us and ruin our volume at the center by taking the patients for yourselves. There's a balance of promises there that I think supports the reading of the contract that we are forwarding to you. The hospital was a party to this agreement. It was obligated to implement its terms. The hospital was the party to whom the benefit of the non-compete flowed. The hospital's argument is there's nothing in here that makes us allocate scans one way or another. They own the facility. It's their employees who are sitting in front of a computer getting ready to press a button, sending the image to one group or the other. They make the decision where it goes, and the benefit of the non-compete goes to ownership of the facility. That's why the hospital had to be a party to the contract. That's why the hospital is obligated to implement the mandatory schedule that was put in place through the words, contractors shall provide radiology services pursuant to the schedule.
And the district court found, in part, that the contract didn't guarantee proportional rights to provide those services.
And in doing so, I think the district court just missed that sentence.
That last sentence of paragraph
B. Well, the first sentence and
the last sentence
of paragraph 2B. The district court looked at the title of the exhibit and says it says coverage schedule. And the district court looked at the grant of exclusivity, which uses the plural contractors, looked at those two words and said, well, it must just mean availability. You can only get to that conclusion if you ignore everything else about how the contract is put together, and if you ignore those key words where the contract says that radiology services shall be provided pursuant to the schedule. We think the court talked a lot about expectations of the parties in its order. It quoted all the right language as far as standard of interpretation, but it talked about expectations. And our view would be that in focusing in that direction, the court lost sight of the language of the contract. It's the language of the contract that controls the outcome. I'll reserve the rest of my time.
You may.
Good morning.
May it please the court, your honors, and Mr. Davidson. My name's Heather Vike. I represent the appellee in this action, Good Samaritan Hospital of Kearney, Nebraska, and I'm here to request that you affirm the district court's order granting summary judgment in the appellee's favor and dismissal of the appellant's claims with prejudice. The reason that I'm making this request is that the district court correctly concluded that under the agreement, while the terms of the agreement were unambiguous, and they did not provide PRS an exclusive right to provide radiology services during their coverage weeks under the coverage schedule.
So let's talk about paragraph 2B that
yes.
we've been discussing.
Yes.
And which portion of that do you believe supports your position?
Well, I think, if I may, I think we should back up and look at 2C because Mr. Davidson and PRS's position is whether rights to provide radiology services during coverage weeks were exclusive or not. So we have to look for an exclusivity right. And the only exclusivity right is granted in 2C, which provides except as required by law or by the terms of this agreement, contractors shall have the exclusive right to furnish radiology services within the facility during the term of this agreement. So if we're talking about exclusive rights, that's where that right is conferred. And that is obviously given to contractors in the plural. So both of those rights, both of those groups jointly have the exclusive right to provide services during the contract term. No rights were granted individually to the groups to the exclusion of one another. Not in 2C and also in not 2B, which you wanted to discuss, which says contractors shall provide radiology services pursuant to the schedule set forth in Exhibit A, which is the coverage schedule. There is nothing about exclusivity. There is nothing that says that if it's PRS's week, then GPR can't be utilized to provide radiology services. It's just not there. You have to make an inference. You know, if you want to adopt Mr. Davidson's position, that's not going to be based on the plain language of the agreement.
So what in fact happened then? Was the coverage schedule changed, and was that what led to this dispute?
No, the coverage schedule remained consistent throughout the years. What happened is that there were weeks while PRS was providing coverage that Reeds went to GPR, the other radiology group. And I believe there's evidence that vice versa. During PRS weeks, radiology services were provided by GPR. Excuse me, I may have mixed that up. But it went both ways. PRS did not get all reads of images that were created at KIC during its coverage weeks. And that's the dispute, whether the hospital breached the agreement by not giving them all those reads to do. And I say that the hospital did not. There is evidence, PRS in their brief argues that, you know, the district court placed too much emphasis on the term coverage schedule. Well, 2B talks about coverage. The schedule is named the coverage schedule. And then you get down to paragraph 3 of the agreement, which says the contractor scheduled to provide coverage in accordance with the coverage schedule shall ensure that a sufficient number of physicians are available on a regular basis to provide the radiology services at the facility. Coverage is used consistently throughout the agreement.
Would you agree that your interpretation makes this agreement pretty one-sided?
No, I don't agree with that. There is certainly a benefit to PRS. Now, they are the only ones that have to provide coverage during two-fifths of the weeks. So although the hospital could utilize GPR, there's only one guarantee or one group that's guaranteeing availability. The result of that is that they're going to receive a benefit.
But if they're guaranteeing availability and don't get any reads, mm-hmm. same question as Judge Reedman.
Sure. Well, the fact of the matter is that they profited hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of this agreement because they were getting reads. There was a benefit. They weren't getting as many reads as they wanted to. That's different. All the court says is that they're half.
Excuse me, was there a reduction in the number of reads they were getting?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I don't disagree that there was a reduction.
And what about the non-compete aspect of it?
Yeah,
the hospital reduces the number of services that are requested, but they can't go out on their own and take some of these people away from the hospital because under the terms of the agreement they can't compete.
Well, indeed.
Does that make it one-sided?
No, they cannot own a facility, but there's nothing barring them from providing radiology services through a facility that they don't own.
Is there a place for them to do that?
In town, I believe that there were other places that provided CT scans and MRI machines, and their practice is teleradiology. They were not at the KIC facility reading studies. They received them remotely. There's testimony from Dr. Lee that he was almost, during the term of this contract, he was almost never on site at KIC, and that they broke away from GPR to develop the teleradiology practice so that they could read scans done, you know, in different small towns throughout Nebraska. They certainly had the opportunity. They could continue that all along, and I believe the evidence is that they did.
What was the initial practice when this contract first went into effect? Was it exclusive? When they had coverage, they got all the reads? Is that how it started?
No, it never did. I believe that there's evidence that it was carried on. Prior to this agreement, there was a split. GPR, the PRS physicians were originally with the GPR physicians. There were five total. About a year before this agreement was reached, two of the physicians broke off and formed PRS, and the others stayed with GPR. And for about a year, they were splitting reads, so consistent with how they did once the agreement was put in place, where two-fifths of the time PRS would conduct the reads and three-fifths of the time GPR. They agreed to this agreement, and the purpose was to continue as they were before this agreement was entered.
So
now,
before the
hospital
into.
Was allocating reads to GPR during PRS coverage weeks. That started well before this agreement was reached, and it continued even after. I want to point out another provision that neither party has paid much attention to, and that's paragraph 11 in the agreement. At the bottom it says, notwithstanding the foregoing, a contractor may perform interpretations for non-facility patients while present in the facility and may use equipment provided by the hospital to perform such interpretations, so long as such activities do not interfere with such contractor's provision of services to the hospital thereunder. So that's another benefit that the contractors could use, PRS in particular. That's another benefit to them under this contract, independent of just the right to provide coverage for hospital patients. They also have these facilities available to them for other uses. So my position is that there certainly were multiple benefits to PRS under this agreement. And an interpretation based on the plain language that the coverage, the rights were not exclusive, doesn't take away the benefits PRS received under the agreement. Okay, I thought my time was up. I will keep going.
Oh, you have plenty more time.
Good, good. I've got a few more things to say. I want to back up a little bit. I believe that to adopt PRS's argument, there needs to be more in paragraph 2B. It says contractors shall provide. That implies the obligation is on the contractors to provide services. It doesn't say contractors shall receive. You know, the interpretation that PRS wants to place, you know, if it said contractors shall receive all radiology services on these weeks, then I think that we would be incorrect and PRS would be right. It just talks about the obligation placed upon contractors.
According to the schedule.
According to the schedule. Yes, yes. But it's not exclusive. You know, the contractors need to be available during the coverage times. I mean, that certainly makes sense. The hospital needs coverage.
They need to be available, but you don't have to use them.
Yeah, and there's instances, there's evidence in the record that sometimes the PRS was not utilized because they weren't available when called.
Does it make any difference that this is a summary judgment as opposed to an actual trial?
Well, the court just looked at the plain language of the agreement to make its decision and didn't rely, both parties offered a lot of evidence But that was only in the event
but
that
everything would have to be given to the advantage of the opponent at this point, right?
Yeah, I believe that's true. I believe that's true. But so, I don't think that that's really applies here where, you know, if you can look at the language, and I think there has to be an ambiguity found in it, an ambiguity that could lead to judgment in favor of PRS. And I don't see that in the plain language.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And how much time did we take the appellee over?
51 seconds.
Would you please add that to the appellant's rebuttal?
To be clear, billings attributable to KIC Imaging in the first year was almost $400,000 of this contract. It dropped to less than $30,000 in year five, though the volume of work being done at the facility did not change. The hospital simply shifted that work from one group to another and ignored the coverage schedule. That's what the evidence is.
So even though, as argued by opposing counsel, this practice was in place even before the agreement, your position is it drastically changed.
Sure, the contract says what it says, that it was a negotiated division of the work in connection with sale of the ownership back to the hospital. The hospital was free to do whatever it wanted for its own radiology department, but the concept was to carve out this freestanding imaging center, treat it differently because the two radiology groups owned it from the beginning. And if you look at paragraph B, to me this is the poster child for read the contract as a whole. You look at the plural grant of exclusivity in one section, and then you look at the other section that takes that grant of exclusivity and allocates it between the two contractors in accordance with the schedule, because the contractor shall provide radiology services in accordance with the schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Davidson and Ms. Vike. You are excused and your case is submitted. Thank you for appearing today. I am recused on the last two cases of the day, and Judge Inbody will be presiding.
The next matter is Carlini versus Gray Television Group. Judge Bishop will be sitting on this case, participating on briefs.